What's in a name? Everything, according to The Names. Imagine standing in a hospital, cradling your newborn son, while your controlling husband demands the child bear his name. This simple decision, what to call your child, branches into three parallel realities that dramatically alter the trajectory of an entire family. Names aren't merely labels, they're vessels of power, identity, and sometimes destiny. They carry expectations, histories, and possibilities. When Cora defies her abusive husband by naming her son Bear instead of Gordon, she sets in motion a cascade of consequences, some liberating, some devastating. This act of rebellion becomes the first domino in a sequence that will either free her family or condemn them to cycles of abuse. The novel asks us, how much of who we become is written in our names? And what courage does it take to defy those expectations and claim our own identity? October 1987. Cora stands at a crossroads with her newborn son. In one reality, she names him Bear, suggesting gentleness and strength, defying her husband Gordon's wishes. This rebellion triggers his violence, but a neighbor's intervention leads to Gordon's arrest, freeing Cora and her children. In another timeline, she chooses Julian, meaning Sky Father, also provoking Gordon's rage. Yet this time, Cora begins plotting her escape, the name becoming symbolic of possibility. In the third reality, Cora surrenders, naming him Gordon Jr. This capitulation crushes her spirit, transforming her son from a symbol of hope to one of her husband's dominance. What's fascinating is how these choices ripple through generations. One decision, what to write on a birth certificate, creates three entirely different families, showing how our smallest choices can fundamentally alter who we become. 7 years later, the children have developed distinctly under different circumstances. In the Bear timeline, the family thrives modestly after Gordon's imprisonment. 7-year-old Bear enjoys special rituals with Sister Maya, making strawberry milkshakes and stretching pizza mozzarella. Neighbor Mehri has become like family. In the third timeline, young Gordon seeks his father's approval by reporting his mother's misdeeds. When he tries writing Luke on his school name card, his teacher destroys it, reinforcing that his identity isn't his own. Julian develops extreme sensitivity, unable to cause even slight discomfort to others, a hypervigilance common in children from unpredictable homes. His father's manipulative questioning has taught him truth is dangerous. Most heartbreaking is 16-year-old Maya in the Gordon reality, witnessing her father force her mother to eat from the floor as punishment. When police investigate, Cora convincingly dismisses them, and Maya feels the quiet death of her last hope. Children adapt to survive through hypervigilance, betrayal, or extreme empathy, adaptations born of necessity, not choice. By 2001, the paths have diverged. 14-year-old Bear meets half-sister Maya in Brighton, learning he's the murderer's son. Despite their father's impending release, they've built lives defined by connection rather than fear. Cora contemplates dating again with veterinarian Felix but declines, analyzing his gestures for manipulation, Gordon's lasting impact. She retreats to the safety of being Bear's mom. In Julian's timeline, he finds healing through silversmithing with Cian, who becomes family. When Maya shares about her mother's murder, Cian crafts a silver pendant with a British pound impression, connecting her to England and her mother's memory. In the Gordon timeline, he embraces the excessive lifestyle of city traders, finding brotherhood where he can be the most unpalatable version of himself. Years later, Cora discovers hidden mail about her mother's death and finally escapes, seeking help at a veterinary clinic and connecting with a women's refuge. Breaking cycles requires both internal strength and external support. By 2015, characters navigate relationships shaped by their histories. Bear maintains a long-distance relationship with Lily while working abroad. When terrorist attacks injure Lily in Paris, Bear reassesses his priorities, realizing freedom isn't about choosing constant adventure, but choosing the life you want. Meanwhile, Lily preserved their memories in a box, while he discarded her letters. After his breakdown, Gordon works at an art gallery. He admits to looking up Lily, whom he'd bullied as a teenager, pinning her against a tree and turning others against her, causing her stammer and panic attacks. Now a human rights lawyer specializing in women's justice, Lily represents his unaddressed past. Gordon feels he's trying to rebuild himself from shattered pieces while acknowledging the cracks will always show. Later, Gordon dines with Maya and her partner Kate, agreeing not to mention her relationship to their father. Though tempted afterward, Gordon abandons buying wine when memories overwhelm him. Love after trauma requires vulnerability, despite past hurts. For Bear, choosing commitment. For Gordon, facing his past. For Maya, trusting her relationship won't be undermined by family dynamics. Healing integrates the past into a more compassionate understanding of ourselves and others. In 2022, Bear dies suddenly from a wasp sting while fixing their water tank, despite Lily's desperate attempts to save him. 2 years later, she and their daughter Pearl discover he had ordered an electric car as a surprise. 6-year-old Pearl keeps his memory alive by asking for stories about him. During the pandemic, Maya receives a reconciliation letter from her abusive father, who claims to have changed and reveals she has a half-sister. She wades into the Brighton Sea with the letter, letting the ink dissolve, choosing to leave her father in the past. Cora, grieving Bear, reconnects with Felix, a widowed vet she briefly dated 20 years ago. Their conversation extends past midnight, sparking a promising new connection. In another timeline, Julian rushes home to Orla, finally understanding there was never a choice between Orla and his fears. When he declares his love, she embraces him. Gordon now lives with Comfort and her daughter Ida. He has reconciled with his mother Cora and confronted his abusive father with evidence from hidden cameras. The novel ends with Gordon's father dying alone, regretting the hurt he caused. Throughout the novel, creativity emerges as a powerful healing force. Julian finds solace in silversmithing, creating pieces that connect people to memories. Gordon discovers meaning at an art gallery, later finding new perspective in Goya's Saturn Devouring His Son, a painting that reveals insights about fear and freedom. Cora, whose ballet career ended with marriage, reconnects with art in her 60s, appreciating Swan Lake without regret. The novel suggests we cannot erase painful experiences, but can transform them through creative expression. Art becomes a language for processing trauma and connecting with others. Characters discover beauty emerging from brokenness through Julian's pendants, Gordon's gallery work, and Cora's renewed appreciation. Healing isn't about returning to a pristine state, but integration. Incorporating wounds into a more complex understanding of ourselves. Like Kintsugi, which repairs pottery with gold, these characters learn to honor their scars without being defined by them.